Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos series. This series is dedicated as a Zchus B'Soros Tovos and only Simchas for Miriam Basha Bas Malka Mindel, as well as for her whole family. We should be Zocha to hear and share B'Soros Tovos, Simchas, Yeshuos, Bekarav. Miriam Basha Bas Malka Mindel, everyone should have in mind while we are learning to be a Zchus for her and her family. Amen. Amen. So we are learning Pirkei Avos. We will continue. I have chosen, like last week, to tie Pirkei Avos into the Parshas HaShavua, and what I think is a very fascinating lesson for all of us, for myself primarily, and how we must live our lives. So I'm opening up to Pirkei Avos. I'm going back to Perek Aleph. Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, the final Mishnah in Perek Aleph. So Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yirches. The Mishnah tells us, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Kayam. This is not meant to be confused with the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, actually the second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omer, more famous Mishnah, Al HaTorah Va'Avoda Va'Gmilas Chasadim. The world stands upon three things, Torah, Avoda, and Gmilas Chasadim. And Pirkei Aleph finishes by telling you that the world exists, Kayam, is upheld on three things, Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Kayam. Upon three things is the world upheld. Al ha-emes, on the truth, va'al ha-din, and on justice, va'al ha-shalom. So, emes, din, shalom, uphold, if you will, the world. Shanemar, as the pasuk says, emes, umishpa, shalom, shiftu b'sha'arechem. We should have truth, we should have justice, we should have peace in our gates. The judges should judge with truth and with justice and with peace. So we have these three principles which allow the world to continue to exist. Emes, din, and shalom. Tonight I specifically want to speak about the midah of Emes, or the property of Emes, one of the three things upon which the world exists. So first of all, Chazal tell us in Talmud Bavli, in the Gemara, in Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara famously tells us that Chosmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, the seal, the signet, the sign of the Ribono Shel Olam is Emes. That is what an important midah it is. It is the seal, if you will, of God. And we know that Moshe Emes, Visoraso Emes. There is no sign of falsehood at all in the Torah. Moshe is truth. The Torah is absolute truth. Chos Moshe al Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The Chosim, the seal, the signet of the Ribono Shel Olam is Emes. And Moshe Emes, Visoraso Emes. And I couldn't find where I read this insight. When I was preparing Shir, I looked back in Rabbi Lau, Yachal Yisrael and Pirkei Avos. I thought it was Rabbi Lau commentary. It wasn't. So I don't remember where I read this insight. But Moshe Emes Visoraso Emes. The whole Torah is truth because it's the seal of the Ribono Shel Olam. And if you look, I have my Chumash here in front of me. If you look in the first opening sentence, the opening words, the first pasuk of the Kol HaTorah Kulo, the first pasuk is Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Ve'Es HaAretz. In the beginning, Elokim created the heaven and the earth. And if you would open up a Chumash, you would see different nekudos in that pasuk. You would see a Shva. You would see a tzere, you would say a si a chirik, you see a kamatz, you see a cholam, you see many nekudos. If you look in the chumash, you will see there is no shuruk. Shuruk is the u sound. The three dots, one, two, three, on a diagonal that make the u sound. There's no shuruk because if you scramble the letters of shuruk, it is the word sheker. If you scramble shuruk, it's going to spell sheker. And when you begin learning Torah, you have to understand that the whole foundation of Torah is emes. There is no semblance of sheker whatsoever in Kol HaTorah Kulo. And therefore, we do not even have the nekuda. There's not even a dot. There's not even an iota. There's not even a semblance or an iota of sheker in Kol HaTorah Kulo. Chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. The seal of God is absolute truth. My son told me last Thursday night, actually, there was a program live stream on Torah Anytime in memory of the Novominska Rebbe Zatzal, who was a Rachmana Litzlan, a nifter from COVID-19, al-Gadolei Hadar. So Rabbi Bender spoke, Rabbi Feiner spoke, so my son joined in, he zoomed in, and he said that Rabbi Bender told over a story about the Novominska, that one time he was leaving, I believe, Eretz Yisrael to return to America, And someone was making him a sandwich to take, and they asked him if he wants tuna sandwich. And he said, yes, he wants a tuna sandwich, but he doesn't want it to have any diced vegetables. You know, sometimes you put pickles, and sometimes you put pepper, sometimes you put a piece of onion, dice it up, put it into the tuna. So they said, why didn't he want any diced vegetables in the tuna? He said, when I get to America, they're going to ask me, are you bringing any vegetables in from another country? And I don't want to have to lie. If I have vegetables diced in the tuna fish, most of us might say, I have a tuna sandwich. I have no vegetables. I have bread. I have tuna. I don't have any vegetables. It's not really a vegetable. It's an iota of a vegetable. There's not one iota of sheker in our Torah. And so there is no shuruk. And the seal of the Ribono Shel Olam is emes. In fact, when you look at the Aleph Beis, the first letter of Aleph Beis, the middle letter of Aleph Beis, and the last letter of Aleph Beis spell emes. Aleph Mem Tov. First, middle, last. Once again, you see the theme of emes that runs through our Torah. Rabbi Lau, in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, points out that in Perek Aleph of Bereishis, Pasuk Yod Aleph, chapter 1 of Bereishis, verse 11, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Elokim, God said, this is Maisa Bereishis, Tadshe Haaretz Desha, let the earth sprout forth grasses, Esav, grass, Mazria Zera, seeding seed, Eitz Pri, fruit tree, Osep Pri, making fruit to its kind, Vayomer Elokim, Tadshe Haaretz Desha, God said that the earth sprout forth Desha. Desha is Dalid Shin Aleph, but can be read as an acronym for Din Shalom Emes. I'm quoting from Rabbi Lau and his Yachas Shalom Pirkei Avos, so this is not an insight that I came up with my own, that you could say Michal Arts is going on a limb. It doesn't make so much sense. Rabbi Lau Shlita brings this down. When God said the earth should sprout Desha for the survival of the earth, what he was saying is that we must have Desha in order for the world to be Kayam. We need Din. We need Shalom. We need Emes. It's a frightening scenario because when you look at the world around us today, I'm not necessarily talking about our Welt. When you look at the world around us today, if the world is Kayam on Din Shalom and Emes, Vayomer Elokim Tadshe Haaretz Desha, Ace of Mazria Zera, Eitz Pri Osa Pri Limino. So we have to ask ourselves, do we see Din? Do we see Shalom? And do we see Emes? And the truth is, these topics, these ideas, these midos, these principles are interconnected. If a person is a person of emes, there will be shalom and there will be din. If a person's a person of shalom, there will be emes and din. They go in hand in hand. But when we lack one, Rachmana Litzlan, we see such a degeneration in society. To the point where we live today, and there is no din, there is no shalom, and there is no emes. Rabbi Lau also brings down a very nice point in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, and he says din corresponds to our deeds. When we say we need din, shalom, and emes for the survival and continued existence of our world, din corresponds to maisim tovim, shalom corresponds to our thoughts. If we think thoughts of peace, and if we think positive thoughts, we will have positivity and shalom with others. And finally, emes, right, Rabbi Lau, corresponds to speech. Din corresponds to our deeds. Shalom corresponds to our thoughts. And emes corresponds to our speech. So we see that with these three things, ha'olam kayam, the world can continue to exist when we live in an aura and a society where din, shalom, and emes are promoted, because this is the absolute seal of the Ribono Shel Olam. And that is the last Mishnah in Perek Aleph of Pirkei Avos. With that, I want to take you, interestingly, to our Parsha. And I want to talk about this idea of emes and sheker in this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha is Parsha Shlach. I'm just opening up the Perek Yud Gimel of the Book of Bamidbar. So Parsha Shlach perhaps is the most infamous, tragic, we messed up Parsha in the Torah. Even after Chet HaEgel, we didn't throw the whole Jewish destiny off course. Yes, Hashem was very angry. Yes, it was a terrible sin. Yes, the Gemara says there is no retribution that comes to Israel without a little bit of payback for HaEgel. But we were still going to Eretz Yisrael. Salachti Kivarach on Yom Kippur. We built the Mishkan. Everything's still going according to plan. And then we come to Parsha Shlach, and Hashem says, Do I have a land for you? And what happens? We all know what happens. The spies despair. They slander the land. The people despair. Atisa kola eda vayidnu es kolam vayivku am balayda hahu 14:1. The entire assembly lifts up and gives forth its voice, and the people cry on that night. And the Gemara says the day the spies came back was Erev Tisha B'Av, and the night we cried was Tisha B'Av. We sat down and we cried for no reason. We were going to the wonderful land, the Eretz Chemda Tova U'Rechava Shorosisi Mi'Chata V'Seinu. And what do? We sat and we cried. And it's terrible. And the people say, we should have died in Egypt. We should die in the desert. Where are you bringing us, God? So it's very interesting, because if you look in Parsha Shlach, in the beginning of the Parsha, in Perek Yud Gimel of the book of Bamidbar, let's look at what happens in this Parsha. Okay? So God spoke to Moshe, send for yourself men, and they should scout out the land of Canaan that I am giving to the Bnei Yisrael, 12 tribes. So you get 12 scouts. The Torah lists all of the names of the scouts. Moshe sent them to scout out the land of Canaan. Moshe gave them instructions. Listen very carefully. Aluza ben Negev v'alisa mesahar. Go up in the south. Because remember, they left Egypt. They're in the desert. They're ascending to Israel. So obviously they're going up from the south. Go up in the mountain. Uri isam esha'aretz mahi. Check out the land. What is she? V'asam ha'yoshev ala. Look at the people. Ha'chazaku, ha'rafe. Are they strong? Are they weak? Ha'ma'at hu imrav. Are they few? Are they many? Uma ha'aretz asher hu yoshev ba. Ha'tovahi imra'ah. Is the land good? Is the land bad? Are the people many? Are the people few? Is the land strong? Is it weak? What about the cities? Are they open cities or are they fortified cities? Is the land fertile or is it a lean land? Does it have a tree or not? You should be strong and take from the fruits of the land. He gave them very specific instructions. What are the instructions? Scout out the land, go up in the south, check out the land, check out the people. Are they strong? Are they weak? Is the land fertile or lean? Please take some fruits of the land. Are the cities open or are they fortified? And he gives them instructions. Vayalu, vayasu, esaret. So they go up and they listen to his instructions and they scout out the land. They go up in the south. And how long are they there for? 40 days. They take some fruit. They bring back anavim, tamarim, and Rimonim. Anavim, Rimonim, and Te'enim. They bring back, am I saying it right? I want to make sure I'm saying it right. Yes. They bring back grapes, pomegranate, fig. We all know the famous Rashi. The fruits are so big, they have to carry it in a pool. Okay. They come back. They show everybody the fruits of the land. And they say, they were there 40 days. Banu el ha'aretz asher shalachtanu. We went to the land that you sent us. V'gam zavas chalav u'dvashi. You know, it's true. When God met you, Moses, at the burning bush, back in chapter 3 of the book of Shemos, Hashem says, I am descending to take these people out of Egypt to the land flowing with milk and honey. It's true. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. And these are the fruits. Famous last words. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Chav Ches. Efes. But. And when the teacher calls, I don't know if it's still shayach to the women who join, but maybe you do remember that when the teacher used to call, they would start with a compliment, and then they would really get to the point of why they're calling. The child misbehaved, the child didn't study, why did your child zoom with me, Mrs. Horowitz, what was he doing that he wasn't in class? Okay, they start with your son's very nice, and then they tell you, but. And that's what they do. It's a land of zavas chalav udvash. These are the fruit, but. The people are very strong. The cities are fortified. We saw giants of the land. Amalek dwells in the south. Rashi says they said this on purpose in order to scare the Bnei Yisrael. The Bnei Yisrael is scared of Amalek. We were attacked by Amalek in Parshas Beshalach after we left Egypt. We're terrified. So they say we went up in the south and Amalek dwells in the south and the people are giants there. And it's very fortified and the land is very strong. Kalev hushes them and Kalev says we could do it. But the people say, Lo nucha la alos, Elo'am, we can't do it, they're stronger than us. Vayotziu dibas ha'aretz asher taru oso al b'nei Yisrael. And they put forth bad speech, they slandered the land. The people are giants. Everybody cries that night. It's very interesting. Have you ever look in the psukim? What did they really do wrong? I mean, it's helpful if you look through Perek Yud Gimel yourself. But what did they really do wrong? Moshe gave them instructions. It seems to be that they follow the instructions. Go up in the south. So we went up in the south. You know who's in the south? Amalek. Are the cities strong or weak? It's very strong. What are the people like? The people are giants. What's the fruit? The fruit is huge. I don't know. What's so bad? Look inside the Chumash. What's so bad? They followed the instructions. Moshe told them what to do. They did. So Rashi says, they began with a compliment. They said, we came to the land that you sent us to. Banu el ha'aretz, we came to the land, asher shalach tanu, that you sent us. V'gam zavas chalav udvashi v'zepirya. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, and these are the fruits. Efes, but it's terrible. So Rashi says, and listen very carefully. Rashi says, remember, our shir is about emes and shaker. Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam kayam, al adin v'al emes v'al ha'shalom. Is it in that order? Al ha'emes v'al adin v'al ha'shalom. Rashi says, why do they start with, it's a land flowing with milk and honey? So Rashi says, listen carefully. I'm going to say the Lashon Rashi, and then I'm going to translate it for you. Kol davar sheker, she'ein om mimbo k'tzat emes b'tchilaso, ein miskayein b'sofo. Kol davar sheker, she'ein om mimbo k'tzat emes b'tchilaso, ein miskayein b'sofo. What does that mean? Any word of sheker, you don't say a little bit of emes in the beginning, it won't be upheld. It won't be believed. If you want someone to believe you, what do you have to say first? Put in a little bit of emes, because if you don't have emes in the beginning, no one's going to believe your sheker. Okay, one more time. Kol davar sheker, she'ein omim bo k'tzas emes b'tchila, so ein miskayim b'sofo. So they say it's a land of chalav udvash, and these are the fruits. That's the emes. And then they launch into the people are giants. It's very fortified. Amalek lives in the land. We can't go up. That's the sheker. How's that sheker? I don't know. So it's not my own insight that I'm about to share with you. I'm quoting from the great Henny Machlis, Hatzadekas, Allah HaShalom. She has a tremendous pshat. If you have this book and you want to look it up for yourself, I'm quoting from Emunah with Love and Chicken Soup, page 414, just for your own reference. Move away from English. What do I mean? We have a problem when we learn. The problem when we learn is that we translate Lashon HaKodesh into the Lashon HaUmos HaOlam. The Lashon HaTorah is not meant to really be translated, but part of the curse of Galus is that I speak English and we learn in English, and so we translate the Torah. But the day the Torah was translated is really a fast day. It's a day of tragedy. This is not meant to be translated. What does MS really mean? Everyone listen very carefully. And what does Sheker really mean? Because how can we understand that the spies first spoke MS and then they spoke Sheker? It doesn't seem to be that they spoke any falsehood, any lie at all. So maybe our understanding of MS and Sheker is incorrect. Maybe the way we translate MS and Sheker is not accurate. So move away from the words truth and lie. And only think MS Sheker and listen to what Hani Allah HaShalom has to teach us. People think truth reflects reality and Sheker does not reflect reality. Like if I say now, said Hani, at 12 p.m. noon, that it's nighttime, that's Sheker. You can't say at 12 p.m. noon, it's Laila, it's nighttime, it's not Laila, it's Tzaharayim. But from the Meraglim, says Hani, the spies that Moshe sent to check out the land, we learn a very different lesson. Honey says they began with the land flows with milk and honey, but they continue with a negative report. So Rashi says, and she quotes Rashi in English, if you mix emes with your sheker, people will believe you. Honey is paraphrasing Rashi. If you mix some emes with the sheker, if you're a pathological speaker of lies, of sheker, no one's going to believe anything you have to say anyway. They know everything you say is a lie. But if you mix some truth in there, people will be more prone to believe you. So the question on Rashi is, says Henny, Lashon Hara is MS. The definition of Lashon Hara is true negative speech. It doesn't have to be false to be Lashon Hara. Could be very true. Could be your neighbor's a bad cook. Could be I hate her dress. Could be she doesn't serve nicely at the Shabbos table. It's Lashon Hara to go around speaking about those things. But it's true. So what? It's Lashon Hara. So what does Rashi mean when he says they missed MS with Sheker? What was their Sheker? Asks Henny. It only seems to be that they spoke truth, not Sheker. What are we understanding here? So listen very, very carefully. She teaches, this is the answer. MS is when you say something Hashem wants you to say. And when you say something Hashem does not want you to say, even if it reflects reality, that's sheker. I'm only quoting from the book. But I'll look it up, page 414. Let's say you say to someone, you're fat. Again, I'm quoting from the book. Hopefully, we're never going to say that to anybody. Let's say you say to someone, you're fat. You're ugly. Is that MS or sheker? Just because it might reflect their BMI might really be overweight. Does God want you to say to somebody, you're overweight, you're fat, you need to lose weight, in a not nice, condescending style? I'm not talking about your best friend who asks you for advice. We spoke last week about say the harav uknei lecha chaver, and you should have a doctor for yourself. I don't mean that. But you go up to someone, you know, it's interesting, because when you think of little kids, they don't have a filter. So it's not beyond them to see someone in the supermarket who they might think is overweight, or they might think is ugly, and they will speak up. But it's true. What was so wrong with what I said? Move away from true and lie. And he says, MS is what Hashem wants you to say. Sheker is what Hashem does not want you to say, even if it reflects the reality. Because, says Henny, the person you're speaking about, or in this case, the land you are speaking about, is a holy land, a holy person, a special land, a special person, a unique land. So what you're saying is sheker, even if you think it's reality. So if you say to a bride that she's beautiful, even if she's not beautiful, is that emes or sheker? And she brings a proof from the Gemara. She doesn't quote the Gemara, but I'm actually going to quote the Gemara for you inside. I now move to Maseches Ksubos. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Maseches Ksubos, it begins right at the bottom of Tes Zion Amud Beis. You all know only part of the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a braisa. Ketzad miraktin lifnei hakala. So if I ask you that, you're all going to say, ketzad miraktin lifnei hakala. What's the answer? Kala na vechasuda. That's not the whole Gemara. Okay, it starts tes zayin amud beis through yud zayin amud alf, maseches ksubos. Tanu rabbanon, the rabbis taught in a braisa, ketzad miraktin lifnei hakala. How do you dance before the kala? Beis shamay and beis hillel have a machlokas. Beis shamay and beis hillel practically have machlokas about everything. Most of the time, we paskal night Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai was much more exacting and rigid in their approach to interpreting Torah and Halacha. Beis Shammai was much more foregoing, aluvin. They were foregoing, they forgan, they let it go. They had a much softer approach, if you will. Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzim Raktim Lufnei Ka. How do you dance? When you go to the wedding, how do you praise the bride? Beis Shammai Omrim Kala Kimoshahi. Beis Shammai says, you know what you should do with the Kala? However she is, that's what you should say. Rashi says on the Gemara, Lefi Yofia, v'chashivo seha, v'chatzlin, also, however beautiful she is, however important, how much chashiva she has, that's what you should say about her. U'beis Hillel omrim, Beis Hillel says, Kalam na v'chasuda. Beis Hillel says, what are you talking about? You should always say, she is a beautiful bride. What does it mean, na'a v'chasuda? So Rashi on the Gemara says, chasuda, chut, shall chesed meshoch aleha. A thread of kindness stretches over her. So there's a machlokas. What do you do when you go to the wedding? The chassan's getting married. You go to the chassan's tish, maybe not us, but you go to the chassan's tish, you go to the mother-in-law, you go to the aunt, you go to the grandmother. You say to them, that's the kala. You couldn't do a little better. That's what Beis Hillel says. Beis Shammai says, kala kamoshi, however she is, that's how you should praise her. Tosfos says, what should you do? Kala kamoshahi, what does Beis Shammai mean? Im yesh ba mum, yishtaku. V'lo yishabchu. If she has a mum, if she has a blemish, you should just be quiet. Don't praise her. The problem is if you don't praise, then what is it implicit that you are insulting? You're going to go, they say, that's my kala. You're going to say, oh. So what are you really doing? Shtika koda. What are you really doing? Insulting her. So Beis Shammai says, what should you do according to Tosfos? Yishabchu b'davar na'eh, sheyesh bo kegon b'eineha, o b'yodeha, imhem yafos. So you should say, whatever you find, everyone has something nice, so you should say she has nice eyes. She has nice hands. But that's, you don't say she's a beautiful bride, I love your dress. You're going, you just point out one thing. You're going to go to the chassan and say your kala's beautiful eyes. That means the whole rest of her stinks. Beis Hillel omrim, I'm quoting the Tosfos, Yishabchu l'gamri, Beis Hillel says, are you crazy? Just praise her totally. She's the most beautiful bride you ever saw. Going back to the Gemara. Beis Hillel says, Kalana v'chasuda, under all circumstances, you should say she's a beautiful bride. Charming. Rashi says, Chutsha chesed, meshochala. There's a thread of kindness running over her. Amrulam Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai is a problem. Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, remember, Beis Shammai is exacting. However she is, you shall praise her. Beis Hillel says, no. However she is, no. Beis Shammai says, however she is, praise her. Meaning, if she is a mom, so. And Beis Hillel says, no. However she is, say she's beautiful. Amrulam Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai, the exacting, says to Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai is a question. Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, let me ask you a question. If she's lame, chigeres, if she's blind, suma, you should say she's beautiful. She has a defect. You go to the wedding and he's marrying a blind woman. It happens. So I should say she's a kalana v'chasuda. I should say she's blind. I should praise her hands. I should say she has nice hands. Says Beis Shammai, v'hatora omra mi versheker tirchak. Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, how could I praise her if she's a suma? If she's blind or lame, doesn't the Torah say in Parshas Mishpatim, midvar sheker tirchak, you should stay far away from sheker. So how do we define sheker and how do we define emes? Taka, the Torah says, stay far away from sheker. But does God want us to go to the wedding and say to the chassan and say to the mother-in-law and say to the grandmother, eh, you couldn't do a little better? Amru lahem Beis Hillel la Beis Shammai. So Beis Hillel answers Beis Shammai and says, L'divrecha, misha kach mikach ra min ashuk. Beis Hillel says, let me ask you a question. If somebody bought a purchase in the shuk that you don't like, they made a bad purchase, but there's a no return policy and nobody's being harmed from it. It's a rug that you don't think is so tasteful. You don't like the rug, they like the rug. It makes them very happy. They call you to the house and they say, do you like our rug? Is there a point in saying, I hate it? Is anyone injured? Is anyone harmed? Is it good midos to insult that they can't return? It makes them happy. Yishabchenu be'enov or yaganenu be'enov. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, should you disparage that purchase? Or should you praise that purchase? Havei omer, yishabchenu be'enov. Certainly, says Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai, you're going to praise it. What's the point of insulting them? It's not tikkun midos, it's nothing. Tell them it's very nice. It makes them happy. It's not your taste. Big deal. So have omri yishabchenu be'enav. So therefore, we paskin that even a bride who is not so objectively beautiful, the emes is to say, kalana v'chasuda, in all circumstances. Concludes the Gemara. From here, the sages say, la'olam tehi dato she'adam me'orevis im habrios. A person's mind should always be in sync, should always be mingled, should always be pleasant with others. Rashi on the Gemara says, la'asos le'ish v'ish kirtzono. Do what's good for the other person. When you go to the wedding, the kala is not so beautiful. Objectively. Maybe even that. Maybe she's blind. Maybe she's lame. She's missing a limb. Something's wrong. So you're going to go to the wedding, you're going to dance before the chassan and say, eh? So what if the Torah says, midvar sheker tirchak? Maybe we're translating sheker incorrectly. Maybe we're not understanding what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. You should always say, kala na v'chasuda. Rav Zusha mi Anapoli, I'm going back to Henny, commented on the verse, midvar sheker tirchak. It's a pasuk from Parashas Mishpatim, which is Yisro Mishpatim, or the Parashas of Matan Torah. Midvar sheker tirchak. Rav Zusha mi Anapoli said, midvar sheker, with a word of sheker, tirchak, you move yourself away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Midvar sheker, by speaking words of sheker, tirchak, a person moves themselves away from Hashem. Why? Because what's chos Moshe al-Kadosh Baruch Hu? Emes. What's the whole Aleph Beis? Aleph Mem Tov. All the words are supposed to speak using the letters of the Aleph Beis are supposed to be Emes. And what's Emes? What the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to say. So a couple gets engaged and you think she's not so beautiful. Nobody asked you. What should you say? She's a very beautiful bride. Going back to the Meraglim. What was the problem? Did Hashem want them to say it was a beautiful land or a terrible land? Does Hashem want them to say Amalek lives there, we're all going to die, or Amalek lives there, but like Hashem saved us in the past, he will save us in the future. The fruits are huge, it's for giants, or the fruits are huge. We can make so much fruit salad, there's enough for everybody. And it's such a Musar Haskel for us. How do we interpret people around us? How do we view those with whom we share our lives, our community, our world? Do we have an Ayin Tova that leads to speaking Emes, emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam, his holy Aleph Beis Aleph Mem Tav, Torah Emes, Moshe Emes, V'Sarasa Emes? There's no Shuruk in the first Pasuk of Kol Torah Kol, because there can't even be a semblance of an iota of a chashash of Sheker in the life of a Torah Jew. Emes is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to say. So they compliment the land a little because that's what Hashem wants them to say. But then they say it's terrible and we're all going to die. But Hashem already said, I'm bringing you to the Eretz Tova Rechava. Hashem said, the fifth Lashon of Geula, V'hevesi aschem el ha'aretz, asher nasasi es yadi l'seis lehem. Nasati lechem morash ani Hashem, beginning of Parshas Va'era, Perek Vav in Shmos. Hashem has told us, it's Eretz Nachle Mayim, Ma'ayonos, Tehomos, Yotzim Babiko, Bahar. We know it's an Eretz, Asher Hashem Elkecha Doresh Osa, Tamid Einei Hashem Elkecha B'mireshus Hashana V'ad Ach Hashana. Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz Chemda. She is loyal to the Bnei Yisrael. Should we not be loyal to her? It's not only how we interpret and view the land that God gives us, but it's how we interpret and view the people that the Ribbono Shel Olam puts into our lives. Not everything that we think needs to be spoken. Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam kayam, al ha'emes, that's first. Because without emes, what kind of interaction would we have? Al ha'din ve'al ha'shalom. Din corresponds to our deeds, shalom corresponds to our thoughts, and emes corresponds to our speech, says Rabbi Lau. How does the Ribbono Shel Olam want us to speak? What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want us to say? How can we build people up? Can we compliment others? Even if it's a stretch. Do we have to be so stingy with a kind word? When we see the world around us, when we think positive, shalom, we will have shalom. When we speak positive, we will have emes. And when we do positive, we will have din. Halavai, we should be so zocha to see for our people, our land, and the world in which we live. This shir, just chus, for Besoros Tovos, for Amir and Basha, Basmal Kaminda. I thank you all very, very much for learning with me and joining this shir. Kol Tov to everybody.